Welcome here to Wake Up Call DT.com, a part of Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, LLC. Happy to have you here for another exclusive interview and a very special guest today. I've talked to him before. Great personality, a great player out there on the field. This is a guy who's gone down in Syracuse history as one of three to do one thing and the only to do another, and we'll find out what that is coming up in today's show with special guest, Syracuse football alum and NFL prospect, Alec Lemon. Alec, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm happy to have you here on the show. And first and foremost, I think we need to get something out in the open here, and that's the fact that on Halloween, you said, you know, why do I have to be so old to be trick-or-treat, that I can't trick-or-treat, that there's a certain cutoff age. And you said all you really wanted was a Snickers. And so, you know, a press conference came together, and you got two Snickers from somebody. I don't remember his name. And then you went out, and you had this pretty phenomenal game on the road against Missouri. And I think that guy should take a little bit of credit for the Snickers that you got before the game.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, it was the night before Halloween. I was in our apartment talking to my roommates. So like, dang, like, we think it's kind of corny, you know. People say as you get older, you don't want to go trick-or-treating because, you know, you're too old for that stuff. But, like, we're like, dang, we just want to go out and get some candy. And, you know, all I wanted was one Snickers. And, you know, one of my good buddies hooked me up with a nice Snickers. And, you know, that was the key ingredient for me to play good.
All I'm saying is if you need to get out there and play your best and you need a Snickers, I don't know how that works out, if I can FedEx them to you or how that happens.
Yeah, I might have to do that, you know, give me some Snickers. That's like, it could be Marshawn Lynch's Skittles. It could be my Snickers, though.
Well, Marshawn Lynch isn't doing too bad with those Skittles now, is he?
Yeah, he definitely isn't.
Well, in all seriousness, looking at what you're doing to get ready for your hopes of the NFL, let people know where you're out training and what that's entailed for you as you prepare to realize a dream of yours moving forward.
I'm out in Tempe, Arizona, training at Fisher Sports down here in Tempe. And, there's a lot of guys, you know, close to 20 guys out here doing the same thing I'm doing, you know, getting ready for, whether it's pro day, combines, all-star games for seniors and stuff like that. But, out here just, getting ready, working out hard, two sessions a day, a lot of core work, a lot of position work with position coaches, a lot of speed work. That's the big key thing with the NFL now is that, they're looking for speed. If you could run fast, you're not so good at, other stuff, you'll be able to get a chance to showcase your talents because your speed. So we've been harping on a lot on speed, 40-yard dash and stuff like that. And, one thing I like down here is with Brett Fisher. He's really big in, physical therapy and rehab, and, he's a great trainer. And, I'm happy I came down here and picked this facility.
You and I talked earlier on in the season, before the season started actually, about your shoulder surgery and that you were 100%, and then you were held out a little bit because you still had some things that you were nursing back from, so didn't start right away in the season, but only missed about a game and a half or so, and then you play in colder weather. Let me know, how's the body doing right now after the season, after the Pinstripe Bowl and all?
Right now the body's sore from all the workouts and stuff, but besides that, it wasn't too bad coming off a season. Usually, some people getting major surgery after seasons and stuff like that. And, me, I just had, your ordinary nicks and bumps from a long, 12-13 season year for us. And, I would say my body's probably been the best outside of a season that it's ever been.
Speaking here with Alec Lemon, Syracuse football alum and NFL prospect, when you look back on this season and starting the season coming off of shoulder surgery, going through injuries, and then seeing what you've been able to do and how successful you've been to have such a phenomenal season, to be in the upper echelon of Syracuse receivers, what does that say to you about your work ethic, and how do you respond to how hard you fought when you look back on it?
It means to me that shows that, I wanted I wanted to get back on the field as fast as I could. You know, it hurt for me to be on the sideline and, you know, during spring ball, be off to the side and watch and practice. You know, that's not what I do. And, you know, it just hurt to watch my brothers out there playing as hard as they've been and, you know, me sitting on the side watching them. But it just shows you that my work ethic and, you know, my determination to get back onto the field and play football again. And, you know, I wasn't going to let a major surgery set me back or, you know, people tell me that I won't be able to play this year. You know, I had my mindset that I was going to play this year, and having, you know, the great training staff, you know, Denny Kellerton and everyone and Brad, and the great support from my coaches, my family, and, you know, I got my shoulder healthy and was able to come and have a successful season.
We talked about your relationship with Ryan Nassib, the fact that from last season to this past season of 2012, when you look between the two seasons, coming into your last season at Syracuse, you were the guy that he could target most, the guy that was out there. Marcus Sales had been suspended. Jared West was out there, didn't receive as many passes. He loses a guy like Nick Provo after he graduates. So how much did it help you to have had that relationship on the field with Ryan going into this season?
It showed a lot. You know, Ryan and I, you know, we've been through a lot. You know, he came in a year before me, but we were here. You know, I was here when Coach Marone first got here, and we didn't have the season that we wanted. And just the fact that he had the confidence in me to, you know, to do what I could do. And, you know, one of the big things when I was hurt, you know, Ryan was there every day telling me, you know, it's like, you know, I want you back as fast as possible, but, you know, come back when you're ready. I don't want you to re-injure yourself or, you know, put yourself in a bad situation. So, you know, Ryan was, he was there as much as all the coaches, you know, making sure that I made the right decision. And, you know, when I came back, you know, Ryan was happy, I was happy. And, you know, it took us a while to get back onto where we were, where we left off from the season before because of me being out, you know, all spring. But I feel like it took us a couple, you know, a couple of weeks, and then I had my hamstring, you know, injury, so that set me back also. But, you know, it's just the faith that Ryan had in me, you know, knowing that whether I was hurt or, you know, whether I was healthy, that I was going to give, you know, 110% for this team and for him. And, you know, I feel like he felt confident with me coming back as strong as I did.
Let's go into that confidence a little deeper. At the end of the game against the Missouri Tigers on the road, Ryan Nassib basically told the defense of Missouri, I am throwing to number 15. I'm going to Alec Lemon. Every time I'm going to throw a pass his way and expect him to catch it. And all but one, I believe, you did catch. So when you look at that and you look at a game like that, how important that game was to making sure that you got into the postseason, and this being your final season in general, that Ryan Nassib had so much faith and so much trust in you. So let's start there. Number one, what does it mean to you that he has that faith in you on the field? And number two, what did it mean to you that even though you both told the defense of Missouri what was going to happen, what does it mean to you that you were successful even though you told that defense this is what's going to happen?
You know, it means a lot, you know, having a quarterback, you know, just locking in on you, especially with, you know, all the great receivers, you know, the other good receivers that we have with Marcus and Jared and Cobian and everyone coming off. But, you know, it means a lot knowing that, you know, whether he needs a first down or he needs, you know, needs pressure off of him, or, you know, he's having pressure in the backfield and he could just count on me being there and, you know, throwing me the ball wherever I am. And, you know, I know that he felt comfortable with me doing that since, you know, I'd be able to find all the soft spots in the defense for him. And, you know, he put me in a great situation in the defense where I could, you know, I could make a catch and make a play afterwards. And, you know, with the coaches making great calls, putting us in great situations. And, you know, that Missouri game, I have to give a lot of credit to my receiver coach, Coach Moore, because it was, I want to say early in the first quarter or second quarter, that he just went up to me. He's like, you know what, Alec, you know, you're going to take over the game. And, you know, once he said that, you know, it just clicked in my head that I just need to go out there and make every play that comes towards me. And, you know, for me, you know, I feel like, you know, I did the best I could with every opportunity I had given to me that game. And, you know, thankfully he came out with that win.
Looking at the final play of that game where you're there in the set, and I don't know the exact name for the set, but I call it the bomb, because what basically happened was that Nassib caught the ball on the hike, drops back, and everybody just blows up. Everybody just splits up. It goes to all different places. You're the only one on the right side. You catch the pass, and you basically go in untouched for the game-winning score. Bring me into that final play and what it felt like to be the guy that caught that ball and won the game.
It's pretty funny because whenever we run that play in practice, the route that I ran is never open. So I kind of figured that, you know, I wasn't going to get the ball, or that, you know, Jared was going to get the ball. And, you know, when I ran that that route, you know, I came out and went up. I ran a little wheel route. When I came out and came up, I saw that all the defenders were attracted to Jared. And, you know, they keyed on Jared. And I was like, oh, I'm wide open. And at this point, I'm dead tired from the drive. So I'm like, you know, just look this ball in. Just look this ball in. Don't drop it. And, you know, thankfully it hit me right in the chest, right where I couldn't have dropped it. And, you know, once I caught it and walked across that end zone, you know, I knew that, you know, we clinched that bowl victory, and it felt so much sweeter.
That Missouri game bringing you in to your second trip to the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. Syracuse had some dark days before you got there, before Doug Marrone got there, and getting to the Pinstripe Bowl twice and winning both of those games, two bowl victories in four seasons, you're a part of both of them. What does it mean to you to be a part of that history of a team that has been trying for years to get back to prominence in college football?
You know, it means a lot, and it means a lot to me, you know, the seniors, the fans, the program, and you know, it just shows to the whole world that, you know, Syracuse is back to where it used to be. And, you know, honestly, I feel it's that way. Some people may not, but, you know, I honestly feel like, you know, Syracuse is back, and, you know, we're about to make that turn around. But, you know, the fact, you know, some people say that we made it to the Pinstripe Bowl twice, you know, it doesn't mean that much, but, you know, it's hard to make it to a bowl game, especially in the situation we were in, you know, 2 years ago where we were looking to win the Big East, and then we end up losing five straight and don't even go to a bowl game. You know, having a slow start this year, you know, people were doubting us, and, you know, having a couple of tough games in this past season, and, you know, people counted us out, and us seniors knew what we were capable of doing. You know, we just had to go out there and show the rest of the team that, you know, we could do this, and that they had confidence in themselves that we could go out and pull, you know, seven wins and go to a bowl game and, you know, put a show on like we did during the bowl game.
Speaking here with Alec Lemon, Syracuse football alum and NFL prospect, going into that last game, that last Pinstripe Bowl, knowing that it's raining, it's snowing, the ground's going to be wet, that it's going to become less of a passing game, winning that game but having it be less of a passing game, did it still feel like a victory to you, or did you feel like you were missing something?
No, I mean, I'm coming out of warm-ups or coming out of the tunnel just to throw. You know, I saw the weather conditions, you know, the conditions on the field and all that stuff. You know, I had it set in my mind, you know, this is going to be a, you know, grinding, you know, a tough game in the trenches. And, you know, once I knew that, you know, I knew we had the advantage, especially with the running back, the way our running backs have been playing, and in our, you know, our O-line have been playing. So, you know, I had a lot of confidence. And, you know, it also would have come down to us. I knew that for the running back to have big plays like they did, it takes for the receivers to be blocking downfield and, you know, springing these guys and, you know, making sure that we do our job on the outside to, you know, help the running backs do what they do best. And it wasn't just a, you know, We weren't getting the passes and we weren't throwing as much, but we still had a big impact on the offense because, you know, if we didn't block or, you know, if we let our guys go, then, you know, who knows, that guy could have made the tackle. So, you know, just because it was a running type game, it didn't mean that we didn't have an impact on that game. And, you know, it felt special after we won that game. You know, we didn't throw as much, but it still was a win and a team victory, and that's all that matters.
You caught a few passes in that final game and caught a few passes in your career, if I'm remembering correctly here, becoming the number one receiver of all time. When it comes to career receptions, nobody has caught more than you at Syracuse University. What does that mean to you?
It's funny. I was actually just talking to one of my, you know, one of the players up here that that are training with me. That he's like, so you're the all-time leading receiver in Syracuse. I'm like, yeah. You know, it's weird to hear that because I mean, you know, during the season you don't really think about that. You just think about winning games and you know going to a bowl game. But you know, being on top of the list like that with such great receivers that came through Syracuse is, you know, something special and, you know, something I could, you know, go on and live on and, you know, tell my kids that at one point I was, you know, like I say all the time, records are meant to be broken. So I'm hoping that, you know, Jared West or someone else next year could break my record.
Something else that you achieved while wearing the orange and blue uniform, you get 1,000 yards receiving in a season. You get over that. But to get to that 1,000-yard mark, only 3 receivers have done it in the history of Syracuse football, and now you're one of them, one of the other ones being Rob Moore, your wide receivers coach. You pass him. Did you ever believe that you were going to achieve this feat? And secondly, what did it feel like to do so?
I knew, you know, the type of offense that we're running, you know, one of the receivers was capable to do it, and, you know, we almost had 2 receivers do it in 1 year, but you know, it's funny that you bring up Coach Moore because last year when I passed him for, like, the single-season receptions or the career receptions, you know, I told him, I was joking around with him. He goes, yeah, but I still have more yards. And he said, I got 1,000. I'm like, oh, man, that's true. I got to get close to him. So when I went into the Temple game, someone told me that I was, you know, I was such and such close to yards, close to breaking 1,000. That's when I started thinking, like, oh, I could really obtain this goal. You know, that's something special. You know, it's hard to do what we do out on the field against, you know, great superior athletes, you know, in college football. And it's not easy to, you know, make catches and, you know, get close to 1,000 yards, but, you know, I could say that I did that, and it means a lot to me because I know that my quarterback had confidence in me, my coaches had confidence in me, made plays play calls towards me. So it means that I know that people in my surrounding cast, you know, respected me a lot and knew what I was capable of doing, and I'm glad that I could, you know, do what I did.
Having Rob Moore be your wide receivers coach, be the coach that's in direct contact with you throughout your entire career at Syracuse, knowing that he achieved the record of getting 1,000 yards in a season, and then you achieved the record in your final season with Syracuse, doing that with him on the sidelines, what did that mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, Coach Moore, you know, he's a great receiver at Syracuse, great receiver in the pros, and, you know, he's not just a great receiver, but he's also a great person, and, you know, he's one of my good friends on campus, you know, and he's a coach. I could go to his office and just, you know, sit down and, you know, kick it with him and, you know, just talk about life and have fun. And it means a lot to have him by my side, you know, not knowing just he's my coach, but as one of my friends. And, you know, he's taught me so much in the game, not just on the field, but off the field, you know, how to carry yourself and how to overcome things, because my career here, I've overcame a lot of things. And, you know, that's, you know, I give Coach Moore a lot of credit for that because he's been there every step of the way and he's helped me out a lot. So, you know, just having him by my side has meant a lot, and I feel like, you know, I was blessed to have him as a coach, and he could help me elevate my game to where it's gone, and, you know, hopefully he could help me down in the future to elevate it even further.
Another coach that you had at your time in Syracuse, the head coach, Doug Marrone, who has since moved on to the Buffalo Bills, what's your response to Coach Marrone leaving Syracuse and elevating to the NFL?
I feel like he deserves it. He's a great coach. You know, he helped turn this Syracuse program around. He came here with a goal to help Syracuse get back to where it was. And, you know, past couple years, people say the Bills have been struggling. I feel like he could be a key component to help bring them back to where they've been. And I feel like he deserves it after everything he's done. And I don't know what else to say.
Speaking here with Alec Lemon, Syracuse football alum and NFL prospect, not only Doug Marrone, but another coach that was close with you, Nathaniel Hackett, your offensive coordinator while at Syracuse. You see him leave with Doug Marrone and elevate to the Buffalo Bills in the NFL. And What's your response to him moving on as well, with it not just being Doug Marrone, but also having the offensive coordinator that you spent so much time with go to the NFL?
I feel like that's a good move as well. You know, he's another good coach that I have a great relationship with, and I feel, you know, he's capable of, you know, being a great offensive coordinator in the NFL, and, you know, he deserves it after everything he's done at Syracuse. You know, all the stuff that he's taught me, you know, I know that he's going to be successful, and, you know, I don't blame him for that move. You know, everyone's goal and dream is, you know, either play or, you know, coach in the NFL, and he got that opportunity, and, you know, that's what you do. You try to, you know, obtain your goals and your dreams and, you know, do the best ability to it. And I feel that he'll be able to do that.
You were part of the no-huddle offense in Syracuse in your final season there under Nathaniel Hackett, that hurry-up, fast-paced offense that really caught on and helped you out more and more as the season progressed. How important is it for Syracuse to have a coaching staff that still adheres to that style of offense?
Not just that. I don't think they have to, you know, imitate the same type of offense with the no huddle, but having, you know, that type of option in your playbook to do that, you know, it's key. But, you know, whoever they bring in is gonna bring in, you know, their offense, and, you know, having the players there, I know that they'll be capable to adjust to whatever playbook they got and, you know, be able to master it.
Rounding out the coaches for us to talk about here with you today, speaking with Alec Lemon, Syracuse football alum and NFL prospect, do you like the decision that Syracuse made to elevate a coach as opposed to going and getting a coach from the outside?
Yeah, I do. I feel like, you know, Coach Schaefer is well-deserving of that position. He's done a great job ever since I've been there, and I feel like he'd be a great head coach. And, you know, it's nice to keep the, you know, from these past couple of years, a coach from inside the staff. You know, it's key because we know what type of message Coach Marrone's given us, and, you know, Coach Schaefer, you know, can, you know, follow the same way, if not different, but, you know, kind of still has the same philosophy and the, you know, tendencies on the team that Coach Marrone has. And I feel like, you know, if he does that, you know, he could, you know, if he decides to go that path, he'll be successful. If not, you know, he'll be successful in his own way.
Keeping with Scott Schaefer, even though you were on the offensive side, you obviously spent time with Schaefer, with him being on the staff. How do you define Scott Schaefer?
He's a great coach, great motivator, great person. You know, I always talk about it when we come back from games, because he's always rides my bus that, you know, when he gets up and talks to us about, you know, meetings or what's next, or he just has a message to tell us, like, you know, it gets me pumped up all the time. And I always say, you know, if I played defense, I would love to play for Coach Schaefer, and there was no one else that I wouldn't want to play for.
Schaefer's energy. This is a guy that I saw at fall camp out at Fort Drum, and I won't say the player, but he's standing in the end zone. Player doesn't face the ball at all, shoves the receiver down, gets called for pass interference, which clearly was pass interference, and Schaefer went over to him, grabbed his hat off his head, threw it up in the air, and he said, "You see that? That's the fill in the blank flag that I would have thrown on you if I was a referee in the game." And just seeing that attitude, that fight, that fire, he just seems like someone that could truly, you know, bring the energy up when needed to, and definitely get somebody's attention, because he got my attention that day.
Nah, definitely. You know, he's got great passion for the game. He knows his stuff, and you know, whether, you know, like you said, he could be, you know, during practice, he could turn it on, and, you know, you could see a side that most people don't get to see. But then, you know, he's also, you know, the soft, gentle, you know, nice Coach Schaefer that everyone sees. You know, that's the type of person he is. He just has so much passion for the game of football that, you know, and, you know, he comes out with the intimidation, and every day that, you know, he's going to get his players right, and he's going to get this team right, and we're going to get better every day. You know, whether he's got to yell at someone or, you know, just talk to him in quiet, you know, that's what he can get done. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why I would love to play defense for Coach Schaefer.
When it comes to Coach Schaefer, what's something that we may not know that you know about him?
He's got a cannon of a left arm. You know, he probably besides the quarterbacks, has the tightest spiral on the team.
I'm sure Ryan Nassib would appreciate hearing that.
Nah, yeah.
As far as Ryan Nassib goes, you obviously built a relationship on the field, and are you still keeping in touch now that you both left Syracuse?
Yeah, we've been talking, you know, almost every day, you know, seeing how everything's going, you know, how his training's going, how my training's going, and, yeah, we just keep in touch, you know, because, I mean, we're both out here trying to get to the same common goal, you know, trying to check up on each other, make sure we're doing the right things, you know, to get towards that goal that we're both trying to chase.
Having former coaches now in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills, I know you'd be happy if any team calls your name come draft time. But let's just say if you were to be chosen to Buffalo, what would that mean to you?
It'd mean a lot. I mean, it'd mean a lot to get on any team, like you said. You know, I just want to get an opportunity. But, you know, it'd be kind of special to be back with my head coach and my offensive coordinator. And, you know, most people don't get the chances to do that, you know, play for the same coaches in college and high school. So it'd be kind of unique and, you know, pretty cool.
Speaking here with Alec Lemon, Syracuse football alum and NFL prospect, I want to go off the field for a second, but keep with football in a game that a lot of people know called Madden. And I had spoken with some of the guys beforehand about these Madden wars, so to speak, that would go on between you, Justin Pugh, Zach Chabane, and Charlie Loeb. I want to get your side of the story. I'm not going to tell you what anybody else said right now. I want to hear what you have to say about what truly went down with this Madden game while you were at college.
All right, well, we have this league, this Madden league, and we have a dry erase board on our refrigerator where we keep, you know, keep our records. It first started out with college football, and then it moved on to Madden, and, you know, we played, you know, I can't even know. I don't even know how many games we played. Probably, like, out of all of us, probably, like, close to, still, like, 500 games. But out of all of us, Chabane probably played the most games because he was always in the living room, you know, on the sticks, always wanted to play people. But he probably played the most. I probably played the least out of everyone. But, you know, all the games that I played, you know, I would have to say, you know, I won most of my games. And I don't know everyone's records, but, you know, off the top of my head, I have to say I probably had the best, you know, win percentage out of all the games we played. I mean, everyone else would probably disagree, but, yeah, I think I probably had the best win percentage.
I will tell you that your teammates did say that you, through most of the time, ran a little bit. Charlie Loeb always passed the ball. Justin Pugh said he did a little bit of both, passing and running. And on the side of Zach Chabane, he only ran the ball. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's very accurate. When I was on the sticks, it was no huddles, throwing the ball. The only runs that I would do would be either like a HB draw or like the quarterback scramble. That's probably the only runs I did. And Chabane, that's all he would do was runs. It was, you know, I kind of got him down, so I knew what to expect. But yeah, I would have to say that, you know, Charlie was very good on the sticks, you know, being a quarterback with his reads and stuff. So it was fun. It was a fun semester of playing all the games, you know, rooming with those guys, and you know, I love them to death.
It sounds like these games are pretty serious among the four of you, and I have to ask you this. If you almost never ran the ball and Charlie Loeb never ran the ball, what were those matchups like?
Oh, Charlie and I had some epic games. You know, we one game he was the Browns and I was the Bills and went into overtime and I won 3-0. So it was like shootouts. It could be like up to 50 points or it could be like I said 3-0. You know, we had some crazy games that you wouldn't think about with two guys that throw the ball all the time. But there were some crazy games that we've had in our little Madden league.
Looking back on those memories and everyone that you spent time with on the field, what was your favorite moment at Syracuse?
My favorite moment on the field? I'd have to probably say, you know, the day of senior day, you know, it was a great game that we all played and a memorable moment since it was my last game in the Dome, and, you know, the way we went out was crazy, and you know, coming back into the locker room with all the underclassmen, you know, giving us all of us hugs and, you know, saying that we're going to win this one for you. You know, it felt special, and, you know, I'm going to miss the Dome. I'm going to miss all my Syracuse fans and teammates, and, you know, hopefully I can make them proud in the next level that I can make it to.
Now, looking off the field, what was your favorite moment at Syracuse?
Off the field? I probably have to say, you know, all the people that I've met, you know, throughout my 4 years, you know, other athletes from other teams and, you know, just regular students, you know, I've met, made friendships and relationships with, you know, I'm never going to forget them, you know, I've made relationships with them that I, you know, hope to have my whole life, and, you know, it was nice to meet, you know, different people from different backgrounds and different areas of the world, and, you know, that's what I have to say, you know, to just meet everyone that I did up at Syracuse.
Well, I appreciate it, as always, having you here on the show. Once again, Alec Lemon, Syracuse football alum and NFL prospect, and I would love to keep in touch with you and chronicle just what's going on with you and this path that you take, hopefully, in realizing your dream.
Yeah, definitely. I would love that. You know, like I said earlier, I hope I can make my Cuse old teammates and, you know, fans proud of what I'm doing now and, you know, try to make this step to the next level.
Well, I think the work that you've done on the field definitely speaks well of who you are on the field, but I think also your character and how you carry yourself is important, too, that when you come out and you have talked with the media before, you never see a cocky person. You see someone who's very humble.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, I have to say I get that from my mom.
Well, I can speak from personal experience and say that moms really do help you out to know special things in your life. At least my mom has, to know good things, good morals, good values, and obviously Alec Lemon stating that his mom has as well. And I want to thank Alec one more time for coming on to the show and sharing his time with us and sharing his thoughts, feelings, and reminiscing with us here. You can only get it on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of Dan Satora Broadcast Media, LLC. Before we head out, I want to give a special thanks to Carvel DeWitt, where you can get a Wake Up Call Sunday, the only place where you can get My Sunday, and now you can get it with less calories. Carvel Light, same great taste, wonderful flavor, folks. If you love Carvel, you love that taste, you've loved it your whole life, maybe you just had it for the first time, now you can have it with less calories. So why not go over to Carvel DeWitt right now and try it out and try it with that Wake Up Call Sunday or whatever Sunday you want. Listen, you deserve to give yourself a treat every once in a while, and now it's less calories, so you don't have to feel bad doing it. Carvel DeWitt on East Genesee Street, right at the end of Erie Boulevard in Syracuse. Also want to thank Carrie and Daly Physical Therapy. Carrie and Daly, truly, I have to thank you personally for everything that you've done for me to get my knee to a place where I could truly feel strong, truly feel like I'm getting back to having a healthier body. And that's not something that I had a couple of years ago. I didn't have anybody caring about me, truly. And for those people where the physical therapy started working, I was taken away from that physical therapy and wasn't able to finish things the way that I wanted to. And that was a very tough part in my life. But now I'm blessed enough to have found a nice family at Carrie and Daly Physical Therapy, 5 different locations in upstate New York. They make things easy for you. Call 652-4323, and that's a 315 area code. That's 315-652-4323 to get on your path to hope like me. And help yourselves out, folks. Listen, I had my pain in my knee. I went through a lot with my knee. I didn't think that people were going to truly care enough to get me better. I had all these things that I felt were against me. Then I met Paula Carey at Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, one of the co-owners of the company, beginners of the company. And with all the work that she has done in 5 locations and how she's always bouncing around, she has taken the time to truly care about my injury, care about me as a person. And you don't get that everywhere you go. So I have to honestly say that for Paula Carey and her team, I feel welcome. I feel okay with what I need to do to get my body better, I'm willing to put the work in because I know that it's helping. If I have a question, they answer it. Unlike some places that just tell you what to do and use big words and jargon that we don't all know, you know, medical terms that we don't understand, they really care about you. And I think the biggest thing I could say about carrying daily physical therapy is that I feel privileged to be there because of the way that they treat me. So go to Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, one of those five locations. Call 315-652-4323 to get your body right, folks. We need to get on a path to hope, and we could do it together. I've started, and I want you to be a part of it, too. So call that number, 315-652-4323. I also want to put a special thank you out there to Drysig Apparel and FanHands.com, both with my a good friend of mine and someone that's great in the community, really does a lot, has a good heart, works his butt off. This is a guy who has worked for years to try and give the best products that he can find and do something special, to truly be a guy that you can trust when you're buying a sports product, be it a shirt or a jersey or a hat or fan hands. And I really have to commend him on his effort to truly be something special and to make his own way. And he has definitely rubbed off on me in learning how to fight and fight fair and fight with a positive message. And so I have to thank Mark Jones of Drysig Apparel and FanHands.com for all of your tireless effort, your work, the fact that you're always going. You've provided Wake Up Call with Dan Satora with men's T-shirts, with women's T-shirts that can also be used for breast cancer awareness if you're doing a walk or a run or whatever that may be. He's given us hats, and he's also provided phenomenal prizes for those of you that have connected with me, with the show, and with the company, Dan Satora Broadcast Media, LLC. So to Mark Jones, I can't thank you enough for your hard work. And I think that anyone who wants to know whether or not you can do it on your own and do it with truly belief in yourself and an effort to go up against the biggest of the bigs, I say Mark Jones is a living testament that you can. I also want to thank, finally, the Syracuse Silver Knights, a team that I got to call home right from the beginning. I got to call out their first game as their PA announcer. Also got to be on MISLLiveSoccer.com for my first ever commentating job as a soccer commentator and a soccer analyst, which was very, very nice because I've done basketball, MU courtside that's on in Scranton, Pennsylvania, northeastern Pennsylvania. I started that back in 2003. And to be a part of this and have this as another job, but more so a home, I would say, you know, when I do what I do, folks, I don't feel like I'm working. And that's why I suggest to you to go after your dreams so that when you get up in the morning to do work or a job or however you want to define it, it doesn't feel like that. It just feels like you're getting up and you're being yourself. You know, you're getting up and being John Smith. You're getting up and being Jane Doe, and you're happy with that. Not, I hope I can be myself when I get out at 5, or I can't wait till this weekend when I can finally unwind and not be depressed and anxious. You know, when I get up, I go out and I do what I love. And that truly, truly has been a huge part of my life, that I don't have to not be Dan Satora or give up Dan Satora at any point in my day. And I've worked hard to do that. And I want to thank the Syracuse Silver Knights who have worked hard to do that in this community with so many teams that have failed and not been able to stay in, and I feel for those teams. The Syracuse Silver Knights have worked tirelessly to be a part of your life, and they try so hard and do so many great things for the community, for veterans, for breast cancer. Everything that they've done, I want to thank them for going out to the schools, to elementary schools, and everything that they do in the community. They're not just a soccer team, and that's what I love. And so I commend Tommy Tanner and the entire staff, John Raymond, Pete Raymond, everyone that's put together that community that has been so strong. Doug Taylor, who literally, I mean, the products, from scarves to T-shirts to jerseys to sweatpants to everything that they have, just a great logo, great ideas, and great people behind them pushing them forward. And I can't wait to see them go throughout history and really, really have a strong connection not only with the Syracuse community but with New York as a whole and this country. And I also want to thank Woody's Jerkwater Pub for everything that they've done, the Super Bowl party that we had, one of my most successful events that I've ever done in my life. And I truly, truly appreciated everything there, the prizes. Nobody left without a prize. We had Rob Drummond come out, NFL, CFL, and Syracuse University alum, who you can hear every single week right here and only here on Back on the Field. It's one of the tabs here on wakeupcalldt.com. All you have to do is click on it, and you can listen to any of our shows. The most recent show is on the top between Rob Drummond and myself, all the way to the first show that we've ever done. So if you've missed anything, this is the first time you're hearing about it, or you missed last week's, whatever it may be, you never miss a beat, never miss a down Back on the Field with Rob Drummond and myself. He was out at the party. Syracuse Silver Knights were out at the party. And you were out at the party, which was great. That's a phenomenal, phenomenal thing to have, is having, that's why I do these events, because I don't believe I'm above anybody. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I don't think my opinion is God's opinion, and that's it. I love talking with you, and I had the opportunity to talk with people that I know, to talk with longtime listeners, and to talk to people that I had never met before. And that, events like that, and because of places like Woody's Jerkwater Pub, that's how I can get out to the community. And that's a wonderful place to watch any game. We went there on numerous Sundays. We had our fantasy football league started there for the two Central New York leagues in our inaugural season here in Central New York, and looking forward to doing that again. Went back there on Sundays to watch the games. Had the Super Bowl party there. It was just a great, great time with friends and listeners and people that become friends because they're listeners. So, you know, I can't thank Woody's enough for the atmosphere. I love the local bar. I love that they put on a free buffet for the Super Bowl, and everything that they did, they really just worked tirelessly to make sure that everything ran smoothly, and it did. I mean, that event was so smooth and so relaxing, and I really got to spend time with you out there. So make sure you come to the next event, and definitely make sure you get out to Woody's. If you're ever watching a game, that is the place to go, right in Matty Dale, across from Northern Lights, folks. That is your place. When it comes to wanting to see your team get the W, go to the W. Woody's Jerkwater Pub, right in Matty Dale. Make sure you get out there, folks. So my thank yous to the entire community of Dantotora Broadcast Media, LLC, and wakeupcalldt.com, where you are right now, where sports meets life. Listen every single week, always finding something new. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, and on Twitter, @calldt, and all the other ways that you can get us on iTunes, get us on YouTube. So many ways to interact with the show and interact with the company itself. There is never a dull moment when it comes to wakeupcalldt.com and Dantotora Broadcast Media, LLC. I thank you all for all of your support, for listening in, and for being such a big part of my dream and my life. I may never meet some of you, so let me say this now, and may you always remember it. Thank you for all that you do. I'll talk to you very soon here on wakeupcalldt.com. This is Dan Satora. Take care.